Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to European American News with Gunnar Troy. ResolutionRDO.com.
Here's a message to every rapist, domestic abuser, violent criminal thug, and every other monster who preys upon women. Maybe you've heard the stories about millions of us flocking to gun stores and gun ranges for the first time, the second time, and the hundredth time. Here's what that means for despicable cowards like you. Your life expectancy just got shorter. Because there's a very good chance your next target will be armed, trained, and ready to exercise her right to choose her life over yours. This is what real empowerment looks like. Millions of American moms, grandmothers, and professional women taking our lives and our families' lives into our own capable hands. I'm the National Rifle Association of America, and I'm freedom's safest place.
You've made a serious investment in protecting yourself and your family. You've purchased the gun, the ammunition, the training, and even secured a license to carry in your state. You know the Constitution and don't believe you should have to pay for a right that you already have as written in the Second Amendment, but you are law-abiding. Now you are considering the legal defense options you should have if you ever have to use a firearm. Self-Defense Fund is a comprehensive litigation membership backing you on appeals, legal expenses, court costs, and more. Up to $1 million per incident and unlimited attorney costs per member. Discover selfdefensefund.com for yourself. Any weapon, any state, any time.
Can a nation conceived in liberty carry its head high if it denies protection to the youngest and most vulnerable of its citizens? Can a country founded on God-given rights continue to thrive without understanding that life is a precious gift from our Creator? As a physician, I have looked into the eyes of one-pound babies. I have cradled their small bodies in the palm of one hand. I defy those who are careless, who would disregard life and look at these tiny little miracles and say, we're not going to protect that.
But I believe there will come a time when we are all judged on whether or not we took a stand in defense of all life from the moment of conception until our last natural breath. One thing I promise you, I will always take a stand for life.
Today there are 26 million people worldwide who have fled to other countries as refugees, more than half of whom are under the age of 18. We are now witnessing the highest levels of forced displacement on record, and it's happening at an alarmingly increasing rate, putting pressure on countries like ours to absorb refugees. There is no question immigration is a divisive topic. Pro-immigration activists highlight success stories like Steve Jobs, whose father was a Muslim immigrant from Syria. Some extremists go as far as idealizing a world without borders. Anti-immigration activists use fear of cultural and economic change and exacerbate it by the threat of terrorism. Many of these extremists stoke fear and hatred towards minority groups, especially the Muslim community.
Countries are being overrun by migrants, mostly Muslims.
Muslim immigration means more Islamic terrorism.
The terrorists are sneaking.
It's the only religion that acts like the mafia that will kill you.
Popular American news outlets have become home to a slew of extremists who regularly inhabit the airwaves to distort the truth. But the root cause of the violence and persecution driving the displacement of millions is almost always ignored. About 74% of today's refugees originated from six places: Syria, Afghanistan, South Sudan, Myanmar, Somalia, and Palestine. These refugee populations appear to be quite varied. Some are Muslim, others are Christian. They hail from across Africa and Asia. Some fled civil war, while others fled genocide and ethnic cleansing. However, they have one sinister similarity.
In less than 48 hours, Israel has hit four different countries with military strikes, attacks on Syria, Palestinian areas of the Gaza Strip, neighboring Lebanon, and even Iraq were all reported.
And Israeli companies sending thousands of weapons to fuel the civil war in South Sudan.
While there's a U.S. and an EU embargo on selling arms to Myanmar, Israel continues to do so.
Israel is the seventh largest arms exporter in the world, but is only 32nd in GDP, meaning Israel's arms industry plays a far more prominent role than in other major arms exporting nations, which have much larger economies than Israel's. The Israeli arms industry is powered by its ongoing military occupation of Palestine, its 13-year brutal siege on Gaza, as well as conflicts with its frontline neighbors, such as Lebanon and Syria. They develop, test, and deploy some of the world's most advanced weapon systems, like white phosphorus. Then Israel turns around and exports not just the weapon systems, but the suffering they cause. For instance, half of Israel's overall weapon sales are to India, whose government is also engaged in an illegal military occupation of Kashmir. If you account for the refugees in other places where Israel is known to have sold weapons during periods of civil war and genocide, like Rwanda, Bosnia, and Sri Lanka, Israel would be partly responsible for over 81% of the world's refugees. This makes Israel a major force for destabilization among the nations of the world. But you will not hear that on popular American news outlets, nor will you hear about the $38 billion in military aid that our government gives to Israel, which continues to support the Israeli arms industry, which is driving the world's refugee crisis right to our borders.
Hundreds of thousands of migrants will eventually find their way to North America. It's just a matter of time.
But I don't want to know. Patriots, and welcome to another episode of European American News, the show that covers the nationalist surge across Europa and America while blitzkrieging through the communist lies. I'm your host, Gunnar Troy, and you are listening to Resolution Radio on resolutionrdo.com. Just a reminder that the views expressed on this show are those of your hosts, guests, and callers. They are not always the views of resolutionrdo.com, although, as I've said before, 99.9% of the time, they definitely are. Tonight's opening music was Saga with Tomorrow is Always Too Late. And yes, brothers and sisters, we are definitely at that critical moment where tomorrow, putting it off until tomorrow, will be too late. As we've been able to see over the last several weeks, last couple months of the Biden administration, they are willing to strip away any freedom and all freedoms that they can that we are willing to allow them to take from us. They are just gobbling them up and doing away with them. And we will cover some of that tonight. Tonight's title of the show, Crisis at Our Border. And we have seen that despite the Biden administration's attempt to say that there is no crisis at the border, we know that there definitely is. If you talk to or listen to anyone that has actual knowledge of what is going on at the border, it is definitely a crisis. We are being invaded, and the Biden administration is allowing this to happen to us so that they can fill this country up with people who will vote Democrats for their generation and future generations to come, basically making our vote unimportant and non-existent at this point. That is exactly what they're trying to do to us. Even if we can, in the future, keep them from cheating their way to victory in these elections, they plan on flooding this country with enough people that they won't have to cheat. They'll be able to get the vote without having to do anything underhanded other than just flooding our country with people that are going to vote for them. We're also going to cover the rally that went on in Melbourne, Australia, a very, very productive rally down there in Melbourne. Kudos again to our brothers and sisters who were heading that rally and were able to get that together. Again, a very successful rally in Melbourne. We'll touch on that. So just a quick reminder to check out all the other shows hosted right here on resolutionrdo.com, now bringing you shows 7 days a week. On Mondays, you have American Dissident Voices. On Tuesdays, Solar Storm. Our newest program on Wednesday night, Truth Hurts, so make sure you're tuning into that new show and giving them some support. Thursdays, it's the Sunny Thomas Show, the network's flagship program. Friday, the Political Cesspool. Saturdays, the Nordic Frontiers, our brothers out of Sweden, put on an excellent show. And, of course, European American News on Sundays, normally at 6 p.m. Eastern. I do apologize for the late start today. When you're out there fishing, you seem to lose track of time, and that's exactly what happened to me today. Weather was beautiful here today in Kentucky, and I had to get out and drop my line in the water and do a little fishing. So, I do apologize for the show starting a little late, but I was busy doing white people things, so you can't be too mad at me for that, especially if you're living around this particular part of the world and you knew just how beautiful it was outside today and just how nice the weather is. This cabin fever that we've all been dealing with as a result of the pandemic, it's nice to get outside. It's nice to get outside and fellowship with other brothers and sisters and really not worry about the things that are going on in the world that, you know, very detrimental to us and our people. It's nice to take a break from having to think about that stuff and just get out, like I said, and, you know, do a little fishing. So that's what I was doing today. Just a reminder to donate to resolutionrdo.com. Help us, you know, pay for more advertising, songs, music, other shows. If you're interested in becoming a host on the show, by all means, contact me or Sonny, and we'll do our best to, you know, get you on the airwaves. But to donate as of right now, because we know how hard it is for our people to fundraise, we're encouraging that you send checks, money orders, or very well concealed cash to Sonny Thomas at P.O. Box 27, Springboro, Ohio, 45066. Again, Sonny Thomas, P.O. Box 27, Springboro, Ohio, 450-6666. And again, all that money goes right back in to the network. You can also get your resolutionrdo.com t-shirt. Nothing counts more than blood. There are not many of these shirts left. Sonny needs to sell out of the ones he has in order to up the order and get more in. So contact resolutionrdo.com or Sonny. See if they still have any shirts in your size and make sure that you get those shirts. And if you need to see a picture of them and you're listening online, there is a picture of the shirt in the slideshow. Beautiful shirt. I bought one for myself, bought a few others to give away as gifts. People I gave them to were tickled to death to get them. They absolutely love the shirt. So make sure you're going out and getting that. Just one more way that you can support us here at resolutionrdo.com and make sure that we stay on the air. If you'd like to join in on tonight's show, by all means, please call in at 607-203-5423. Again, 607-203-5423, and I'll do my best to get you on the air with us tonight. Just hit that number one button once you get into the room, and that lets me know that you have something to say. All right, so like I said, we are going to talk about the crisis at the border. The first thing we're going to cover, though, is going to be, like I said, the rally that took place in Melbourne, Australia. Our brothers and sisters down in Australia dealing with the mandatory vaccination laws, and they are fighting back against this tyranny, and that's exactly what it is. It's tyranny. Our brothers and sisters are facing down there as they are, do not want this vaccination. And we read off that list last week concerning the damage and the side effects that these vaccinations are having, especially the AstraZeneca one or maybe the Pfizer one, but I know that it's been banned in now 14 different countries due to the fact that it causes blood clots. So, I mean, we can understand. Our brothers and sisters in Australia understand their concern about getting this vaccination, not only the side effects that we know that it's causing as a result of the reports that have been coming out, but we know that people are also dying as a result of taking this vaccination. And my biggest fear outside of death would be the fact that I believe that they are using this to sterilize our people as a way to keep us from having future generations. And, I mean, that has to be some of the scariest stuff going on right now when you think about it, that, again, Bill Gates, one of the people who is at the head of these vaccinations, believes that a third of the world's population just needs to be eradicated and drop off the face of the earth. And when you have someone like that who is heading a vaccination or has his hands in this process, I don't know how in the world you could go get that vaccine. I mean, I understand that the people that have gone out and getting it, and I understand that everybody has their reasons for what they do. But again, if you are hoping to have children someday and grandchildren, and you are healthy and have no underlying health conditions, you need to avoid this vaccine like it is the plague itself, because I truly believe that this vaccination is going to kill a certain amount of the people who take it, and then the ones that are able to survive the vaccine, it's going to sterilize them, which will put an end to future generations in that particular family line. So again, I understand if you have the underlying health conditions, if you are elderly and you've gone out and gotten your vaccination, I completely understand. But if you do not fit into that category and you hope to have future generations in your family, that you stay away from this vaccine. You just stay away from it. So, again, I said they had a very successful protest in Melbourne, Australia. A couple of the updates of some of the stuff that went on. There was apparently a big police confrontation with the crowd. Basically, they were at a standoff there for a little while. And the reports I got from Freedom Reigns, again, you can go to Freedom Reigns on Telegram. All of this information is there. But they said police backed down from a confrontation with the crowd at the Worldwide Rally for Freedom in Melbourne. This was a defining moment, which could have turned very ugly, and based on past experiences with Victoria Police, it seemed like they would start pepper spraying the crowd and violently arresting people. This time, though, they were apparently told to stand down, and they did. A volatile and potentially ugly situation was de-escalated, and the rally proceeded peacefully. So again, it just goes to show, brothers and sisters, when we show up in a large group, when we are fully united and standing strong together against this tyranny, we can win. We absolutely can win. And that's what we need to start doing. So again, kudos to our brothers and sisters in Australia who made it out for this event and were able to stand strong in the face of tyranny and back the police down. So again, just kudos to those brothers and sisters. Excellent job down there. And again, the whole world is watching this. You know, we are waiting to see how you stand up to this, how the government reacts to this unity, and the rest of the world will follow as a result. I'm fully convinced of that. If you'd like to hear the speeches, they have put up a link that enables you to hear the worldwide rally, freedom rally, all the speeches uncut. And again, there is a link to that on the Freedom Reigns Telegram page. I will try to get some of those speeches, or at least some clips of those speeches, recorded or brought over so that we can play them probably next week or the week after. And then still trying to get someone from that group. And they say they'd like to come on the show. Again, we're just having a hard time getting them, getting a time together where both of us are able to get together and talk and have time for an interview and get that on the air for you. But again, they are, you know, doing what they can in Australia to fight against these mandatory vaccination laws that seem to be implemented in most European countries at this point, and definitely coming here to the United States. We can see that it's not getting any better here as far as the propaganda for the masks, the mandatory lockdowns, and the mandatory vaccinations that we know that they'd like to do to us. So, again, the entire world is watching what's going on in Australia right now, and if those brothers and sisters down there can stand up, well, we sure as hell can here and in other countries. I mean, you know, they have shown us the way, and we need to pick up the torch and follow their lead. And that's what we need to do. And we need to make sure that our governments do not wipe us out, because that's what they want. They want to wipe out nationalists. They want to wipe out the real patriots of these countries and replace us with people from the third world. And we cannot allow that to happen. These are our countries. Our ancestors have fought, bled, sweated, died for, not theirs. Not theirs. So we need to do whatever we can to follow in our ancestors' footsteps in not allowing our countries to be overtaken by third world parasites who want to replace us in our own homelands. We cannot allow that to happen. We will not allow that to happen, which is one of the reasons that we will be covering the border crisis tonight, because that is exactly what the Biden administration is trying to do here in the United States of America. That is to replace the white vote with Hispanic votes. And we know what that would do to the demographics in this country. It's been reported that, you know, several of these people crossing the border are being moved into red states to change the demographics there, to swing those states into blue states. And again, this is something that we cannot allow to happen. And again, Biden and his administration doing nothing to stop these people from swarming across our border right now. So make sure you're checking out the Freedom Reigns page on Telegram. Again, you can listen to all the speeches totally uncut from that event right there on their site or on their page. So make sure you're checking that out. A lot of good stuff. So folks, we've seen that the crisis at the border is definitely a crisis. And it's a crisis again. It was like this under the Obama administration. It looked like there for a few years, Trump had everything fully under control as far as the border went. All-time lows in people trying to cross, all-time lows in people being captured and having to be returned to their country of origin. These were at all-time lows for 2 or 3 years. The Biden administration comes in, and in less than 2 months, there is now a crisis at the border. Several caravans headed this way, unaccompanied children coming into the country. Now I believe there's over 15,000 minors being held by our government as a result of this crisis. And that's, again, that is exactly what it is. According to the Biden administration, there is no crisis. There is no problem on the border, and any problem that they had at the border is, guess who? Donald Trump's fault. Yes, everything is Donald Trump's fault. They inherited this problem at the border. Well, we know that's bullcrap, brothers and sisters, because, you know, was Trump the perfect candidate for us? No. But there were a few things that he was exactly right on, and the border was one of the things that he was handling very, very well. He had it, for the most part, under control. That's all gone. That's all gone. With a few strokes of Biden's pen, he undid everything that Trump was able to accomplish down on the border, and now we see that they're streaming back across our border, basically unchecked. Unchecked at this point, been told Border Patrol, ICE, Department of Homeland Security, basically told to stand down and let them cross. This is bad news for us. Very, very bad news for us. So Trump did come out here recently with a new statement concerning the crisis at the border. I'm going to go ahead and read that to you. It is kind of lengthy, but bear with me. We'll make it through. President Trump says, "We proudly handed the Biden administration the most secure border in history. All they had to do was keep this smooth-running system on autopilot. Instead, in the span of just a few weeks, the Biden administration has turned a national triumph into a national disaster. They are in way over their heads and taking on water fast. The pathetic, clueless performance of Secretary Mayorkas on the Sunday shows today that was a national disgrace. His self-satisfied presentation in the middle of the massive crisis he helped engineer is yet more proof he is incapable of leading the DHS. Even someone of Mayorkas's limited abilities should understand that if you provide catch and release to the world's illegal aliens, then the whole world will come. Furthermore, the Mayorkas gag order on our nation's heroic border agents and ICE officers should be the subject of an immediate congressional investigation. But it's clear they are engaged in a huge cover-up to hide just how bad things truly are. The only way to end the Biden border crisis is for them to admit their total failure and adopt the profoundly effective, proven Trump policies. They must immediately complete the wall, which can be done in a matter of weeks. They should have never stopped it. They are causing death and human tragedy. In addition to the obvious, drugs are pouring into our country at record levels from the southern border, not to mention the human and sex trafficking. This administration's reckless policies are enabling and encouraging crimes against humanity. Our country is being destroyed." And he's absolutely right. He is absolutely right. They had this under control. We had the lowest attempts to cross our border in definitely the last 5 or 6 presidents before Trump and now after Trump with Biden. And in just a few short weeks, folks, all of that was done away with. And now we are dealing with the crisis that we're dealing with. People crossing the border unchecked, bringing unknown diseases, more coronavirus here as a result. And then again, this is for the intent to change the demographics in red states so that they now become blue states and the Democrats never have to worry about losing an election again. So Trump's spot on. You know, this administration has basically doomed the American people if they do not get this under control. We see the kind of filth, the kind of garbage that's streaming across our border, and I'm not necessarily talking about the people that are streaming across the border. I'm talking about the stuff they're bringing with them. The cartels are using this as a golden opportunity to flood our countries with as much drugs as they can, using children to take these drugs over the border, selling children into the sex slave, and we covered that last week. And I have a comment that goes along with what's happening on the border to kind of tie it in with what me and Brian talked about last week, and that was the Pizzagate, the sex ring that several of our politicians are definitely involved in. I mean, that list he read of names last week, again, longer than my arm, and he did not read every name on that list. As far as people who have been arrested, charged, and or convicted of child pornography, horrible, horrible sexual acts with children as young as 2 years old. These are the sick kind of degenerates that we are allowing to lead us, and something has to be done. So, again, you have people streaming across the border, basically unchecked right now. Biden talking about putting people up in hotels. Who's going to pay for that? Well, again, you guessed it. You and I. You and I will be splitting the bill for this. And it's insanity. It really is, to think about it. When we had this under control, like Trump said, the border wall was just a few weeks, a few months away from completion. It's something that should not have stopped. And had they just kept building the wall, it would be done by now. It would be done by now, and we would not be having this crisis at our border. But unfortunately, we see that as soon as the Biden administration took power, the caravans started streaming back up this way, because they knew that under a Biden administration, there would now be no one stopping them from coming into the country. And again, while I feel sorry for these people, a part of me does feel bad for them. You know, they live in a country that is run by the drug cartels. Again, this is not our problem, and that's what it boils down to at the end of the day. Yes, you can have compassion, you can feel sorry for these people, but at the end of the day, it's not our problem unless we allow it to be our problem. And that is what the Biden administration is doing to me. They are making this our problem when it shouldn't be our problem. And again, I completely understand wanting to be compassionate and wanting to help people, but when it's at the detriment of your own people, your own nation's citizens, that's where you have to draw the line. When you're hurting yourself in order to help someone else, well, that does neither you nor the person that you're helping any good at all, because once that feeding hand runs dry, well, then you're both done. Both the helper and the helped are done. And that's what we're getting to. We're getting to that point where we have no more help to give without literally harming ourselves in order to do so. And that's where you have to draw the line. And we've been saying this now for weeks, the line has to be drawn. We cannot allow these politicians, these crooks, to cross it. If they do, something needs to be done. So, again, this is a crisis that was under control. And as a result of, partly because the Hispanics and the people coming from South America and Mexico knew that this administration would be more lenient on border crossings, and the fact that within his first couple days of being in office, the way everything Trump had done, We knew that this was coming. President Trump also brought up something interesting in his statement, that the Border Patrol agents have been silenced. They're not allowed to talk about what's going on to the media or to anyone else about just how bad it's gotten down on the border. Now, why would they do that? Well, it sheds a bad light on the Biden administration. If ICE and the Border Patrol were able to speak up and speak out about exactly what's going on, the atrocities that are happening at our border, the Biden administration would no longer be able to deny on television with their robot-faced Speaker of the House saying that there is no crisis, there's nothing to worry about, everything's fine. Well, we know everything's not fine. So, again, you know, this is something that we know has been going on for a long time. There was that short break during the Trump administration where it looked like things had definitely gotten better. Less people were attempting to cross because they knew that catch and release was no longer being done. If you were caught, you were taken back or sent back to your country of origin. You were not released into the United States, given a court date, which we know that 95% of these people never show up for their court date. Things were under control. Now they are not. And as a result, we are being flooded with third world parasites who are here for a handout. That's what they're here for. So instead of doing it the right way and trying to get into this country legally, they know that they can just come here now and they're basically given a free pass. So we have to do something about this. There are plenty of other politicians, plenty of other news anchors and news outlets that are speaking up and out against what's going on at the border, but you still have your mainstream media outlets like CNN and MSNBC who will tell you that there is no crisis, that it's all made up by the Trump administration in order to, I guess, scare people. Well, the only scary thing that's going on is that we can see with our own eyes that there is a crisis on our border and that people are streaming across unchecked, and that now someone has to care for these people. Children being either brought over by people who are not family members or unaccompanied altogether, streaming into our country. Something has to be done with these kids. So it makes us look almost inhumane when we're just willing to say, send them all back. But again, this is not our problem. It's not. If these people were to put half the effort into making their own country better, as they do in just getting here, they could change their own countries. They could make their own countries better. They could throw out the cartels. Unfortunately, right now, Biden has made it easier for them to come here. He has made it easier for them to trek thousands of miles through wilderness, over rivers, in order to get here. It's easier to do that than to stand and fight in your own country and make your own country better. And that is what we have to continue to encourage these people to do, is to make their own country better and not to come here. But we see that that's not going to be possible under the Biden/communist administration. It's not. They are opening our borders to just about anyone who wants to come in. And see, the scary thing about this is it's not just Bannocks and South Americans who are trying to get in here. This also brings in Muslim terrorists are able to sneak in this same way with an unsecure border. Chinese communists able to sneak into this country the same way. And other people from other third world countries that we do not want and do not need in our country are able to get in this exact same way. So our country is in danger as a result of these Biden policies and the scrapping of the Trump policies. And again, this is something that was under control. They were still trying to get here, but they were trying to do so in a lot less numbers, and more often than not, they were caught and returned to their country of origin. So you remember the story we covered last week concerning the child sex trade and the politicians who were wrapped up in that and guilty of just heinous crimes against children of as young as 2 years old. I mean, it makes my head hot, you know, and almost puts my hair on fire just to think about this stuff. But at the same time, it's something that needs to be talked about. And one of the things that I thought about as I'm, you know, covering that story and covering this story as far as the crisis on our border is, what better way for these sick, degenerate politicians who are involved in this and have not been caught yet to refill their child coffers? I mean, think about this for a minute. You have unaccompanied children streaming across the border, being taken into, I guess you'd call it custody, housed in a location. And what's happening with these children? Well, honestly, folks, I think this is a way for these sick, twisted politicians who are caught up in abusing children sexually, this is a way for them to get their hands on more kids. No one's going to miss these children. So again, something you have to think about. There's always something more than just the obvious answer when it comes to stuff like this. The obvious answer is that they're trying to flood our country with Democratic voters. They're trying to change the demographics in red states, to change them from red to blue, and they can do that with these people. But also, I think there's something else there, and I think that's what I just mentioned, that these sick, twisted politicians, the ones that get their jollies out of abusing and hurting kids, that this is a way for them to fill their child coffers without anyone batting an eye. We have no idea how many kids have come across the border. Sure, we're getting numbers every day, something to the tune of 400 and something unaccompanied minors come into this country every day. We don't know if that number is correct, and we also don't know what's happening to these kids once they are taken into custody in this country. We know what happens to some of them. They show them in their storage container type houses with one little window that has bars on it so that they can't get out. Terrible way to treat a child. But again, I honestly think that these sick and twisted political officials in this country who are involved with this child sex ring, Pizzagate, whatever you want to call it, I truly do believe that this is a way for them to get their hands on more kids, and kids no one's going to miss, and that really no one's really even talking about right now. You've noticed the left has kind of gone silent about the kids in cages right now and everything else that's going on down on the border. They've just kind of shut up about it. Now, when Trump was in office, all we heard about was kids in cages, only to be reminded by the Trump administration that that was all started under the Obama administration, that was originally him. He built the cages. He was the one that had the children in there, not Trump. So, again, sick and degenerate politicians, I would not put it past them to use this as an opportunity to, again, get their hands on more kids. And that is some scary stuff right there. As if us being invaded by third world parasites who are only here for a handout wasn't bad enough, I really do truly believe that our politicians are using this as a way to get their hands on more kids. now that enough Americans have been woken up to this problem, it's probably harder for them to do so. This is the prime opportunity for them to do that. And it's just something else we have to think about. So, again, we're not going to do a very long show tonight. Like I said, I got a late start today out doing a little fishing with a buddy. So, but I did want to come on tonight and at least talk a little bit about the crisis at the border, give you my ideas on what I think is happening beyond the obvious. So the Democrats are just trying to flood us with people who will vote Democrat for generations to come. Is that this is a way for these sick, perverted pedophiles to get their hands on children that no one's going to miss. Nobody's going to miss these kids. And to also come in and update us on what's going on in Australia. And again, check out Freedom Reigns on Telegram. You can go there, get updates on the rally, as well as hear all the speeches uncut. All you got to do is click on a link. It'll take you right to the speeches, and you can listen to all of them in their entirety. There's a lot of good information there. Several talented speakers voicing their opinions and speaking up for the people of Australia. And again, it's something we need to keep a close eye on, because if we can see that they are able to stand up and say, no, we're not allowing this to happen to us, you're not going to do this to us, the rest of the world can and will follow. And again, a very, very successful, from everything I've read, very successful rally in Melbourne, Australia over the weekend. Again, they did have a confrontation with police, but the police stood down. So, again, it can be done. It can be done. If we stand together, if we are unified as a people, as a country, we can face any tyranny that comes our way, and we can win. Remember, folks, people should not fear their governments. Governments should fear the people. We have the power. They know this. They know we have the power. But they'll continue to take from us more and more of our freedoms as long as we do not stand up and say, no more, no more. The brothers and sisters of Australia are doing a fine job of standing up and saying no more, not another inch. We're not giving you another inch. We're not giving you any more of our freedoms. So we all need to be doing the same. We all need to be organizing or attending protests in your own country. Like I said, one of the AstraZeneca vaccine has been now put on hold. I don't think it's been completely banned, but at least been put on hold from being used in 14 different countries now because of the side effects of this vaccine, the number one being blood clotting, causing a lot of blood clotting, which anybody who's ever dealt with that type of thing, that leads to death. Heart attacks, death, that sort of thing. So not good. And again, we've said on this show a couple times now that sometimes the cure is worse than the ailment. On a lot of these drugs that we see are FDA approved, the side effects that they cause are worse than what you're trying to get rid of. And that is definitely true with this coronavirus vaccine. We read off that list out of that report out of the UK. I'm still waiting on the new report to come out. I have not seen it yet, but just thousands upon thousands of cases where the side effects that people were having as a result of getting this vaccine were worse than the vaccine itself. So it's just something we definitely have to be aware of. We have to stand up. We have to say no more. We have to draw that line in the sand and not allow them to cross at this time, and no more ostrich syndrome. We need to pull our heads up out of the sand. We need to stand up straight, puff out our chests, and show them just how strong we are. Because they know, brothers and sisters, how strong we are if we all stand united, and it keeps them awake at night. It has them scared to death. All we need to do is stand united and stand firm, and we can and will win. So, again, I'm sorry for the short show tonight. We'll be back with you next week. 6 p.m. Eastern. I'll make sure that whatever I'm doing, I'm back for the show. Hopefully next week we can have Brian, maybe Sonny join us, get their thoughts on what's going on at the border, as well as do a little more covering of stories going on around the world. We know there's several new bills out there. I will talk just a little bit about the shootings in Atlanta. We had that go on here this week where, again, I believe a lot of these mass shootings, these called so-called spontaneous mass shootings, are people who have been coerced or influenced by government officials to either do this type of thing voluntarily, or they are drugged, brainwashed, whatever you want to call it, and something happens, they are triggered somehow, and they go out and commit these types of acts, because we notice that these types of things happen when the Democrats or other politicians need some sort of distraction. Something's going on. It's putting them in an unfavorable light. Things are being exposed. 2 days later, 3 days later, boom, there's a shooting somewhere, and that's all anyone's talking about, and that's all anyone's concentrating on. So I think this last shooting in Atlanta with this fool who says, you know, it was not racially motivated, even though that's what the mainstream media would have you believe at this point, that this was an attack on Asian people by so-called white supremacists in this country who, because of Trump coming out and continually calling this the China virus or the Wuhan virus, that this is a result of him saying this type of stuff about China. And we know, again, that normally is crap. That's normally never the case, that these were just done on a whim, you know, because of something someone said, some politician said. Unless it's on left, and we see them act on what their politicians say all the time. People like Maxine Waters, who encourages her supporters to go out and harass Trump supporters. Don't even let them sit down for a meal. You know, harass them until they leave. Let them know that they're not welcome here. Well, we saw plenty of that happening over the last 3 or 4 years while Trump was in office, that they're minions in the street, their small army of Antifa communist punks out there harassing law-abiding citizens because of a hat they were wearing or a shirt they were wearing or the way they wore their hair or some ridiculousness like that. So we had this guy. Apparently he shot up 3 different spas in the Atlanta area, reported that he was on his way to Florida to maybe do more killing. And these spas just happen to be run and owned by Asians. And, I mean, if anybody thinks for a second that you're what they'll call a white supremacist or a racist, that we don't know the difference between someone who's Chinese and someone who's Korean, well, that's just not the case. Trust me, we know the difference. I know the difference between a Japanese person and a Chinese person. I know the difference between someone who's from Vietnam and someone who's from South Korea. So the fact that we just go off on a blind tangent and start shooting anybody in sight that doesn't look like us, that's just it's another false narrative that they'll try to use to, one, make our people look bad, and, two, strip away more of our rights, which – I'm telling you, this was used as a distraction, number one. They needed something to take everybody's mind off of what's happening at the border, the fact that gas prices have gone up over a dollar now in the 2 months that Biden's been in office. They needed a distraction. This was it. This is what they used as the distraction. What else will result from this? That's going to be the grabbing of your guns. More gun legislation has already been written up. There are now new laws on the books, or at least two bills passed by the Senate concerning, I believe, hate crime laws hate crimes against Asians. So, again, you know, they needed a distraction, but they also needed another reason to gun grab, to make that look legitimate. Like, we have to save ourselves. Again, just not true. First, it's a distraction. They want to take your mind off of what else is going on, and then they want to use this politically to enforce more gun legislation. And we can see that that is exactly what they're doing. There was a lady that was on the Tucker Carlson show the other night, and what she was speaking about is that when it comes to violence against Asians, the fact that it is some white Trump supporter that is perpetrating all these so-called hate crimes against the Asian community, well, that is just not so. And this is coming from an Asian American who says that her neighborhood, in neighborhoods like Oakland, California, the main perpetrator of violence against Asian people are African Americans. It's not the white supremacist boogeyman that the left and Nancy Pelosi would like you to believe that it is. No, not at all. It is the African American community, more often than not, are the ones perpetrating violence against the Asian community. And we saw this going all the way back to 1992 during the LA riots and Rodney King. You have the Korean store owners up on their roofs with guns protecting their stores, not because Whitey was having a bad day and out there burning down their stores and looting their stores, but because the blacks, the African Americans, were out there burning down their stores and looting their stores because this was an opportunity to get some gibs. So again, this goes back to 1992 and even further back than that, I'm sure, that the Asian community has been dealing with this. The narrative that this is some white supremacist boogeyman now basically declaring open season on the Asian community because Trump said, calls it the Wuhan virus or the China virus, well, that is absolutely absurd, brothers and sisters, absolutely absurd. And the fact that we have Asian Americans on the television and on news outlets telling us that this is bullcrap, and then you still have the left trying to get you to believe that it's white supremacy that's doing all of this, it just goes to show you how hell-bent they are on making us look like the bad guy every time. Every time. And we know that that's just not the case. So I do see that we have a caller in the room. I believe this is Sonny on with us tonight. Good evening, brother. Welcome to the show.
How's it going, my friend? I was just listening to your commentary there. You might also want to include the Watts riots back in the 60s there in L.A.
Yes. 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 So, I mean, like I said, even farther back than 92. But, I mean, you know, the fact, brother, what I'm getting at is this is an Asian American that is telling us that it's not white people who have been historically the ones perpetrating crimes against the Asian community. It is African Americans doing this. It just goes to show again that the narrative put out there by the left is just completely wrong, as it usually is.
That's not wrong. It's right for them, and that's what they're trying to do.
True.
Is constantly paint us in a bad light, and because they think they got us down. But in all fairness, if you look at perception as reality, from their point of view, they've got the white man on the ropes. And they are in the process of doing a Ivan Drago on Rocky's face in that particular analogy, where they just keep on pounding him and pounding him and pounding him, thinking that he's going to finally break. The biggest problem is, from their point of view, that looks like that will be the end game, because do you really see white standing up? I mean, I'm still seeing videos. The people, they're nosing all the attacks in public schools against their children, sending home letters basically saying if your child's white, they're automatically born racist. This, that, and the other. I mean, where is the outrage? I mean, whites don't typically go and threaten to burn down a school because the school board's acting like a bunch of chumps because they're just following orders from the Marxist masters. But you go into a black community and something doesn't go right, they'll volatile cocktail that shit, that barbecue while they're at it. So, I mean, that's how they look at it. But, again, we've allowed this stuff to happen for so long. I mean, ever since this goes back a long time, but if you really want to look at the culture of Marxists and when they really started to ramp up their game is in the 1950s after World War II. They already defeated the great German nation underneath a very visionary individual and was able to stave off their global plan for a little while. But now the Kluge plan is in place, so they're basically going to start flooding Europa with all these undesirables and coloreds. And now they're doing it here in North America and Australia. And the worst part of it is, in other countries, you don't see that type of thing going on. You don't see in India, you don't see an influx of, you know, whites trying to go in there, or who is their unfavored, uncleansed race that would be their neighbors? I mean, Pakistan's constantly having issues with India. I mean, there's all sorts of stuff going on, but you look at their respective geographic location, and who is the migrant that they're always trying to stave off and see how they're trying to create economic situations where they make the environment untenable and they have no choice but to go into a neighboring country, such as what's happening in Venezuela, and all those Venezuelans going into Colombia, Brazil, all these other countries, and they don't really want them, but they know they're going to have to do something. If they don't, accused of being unhumanitarian and could have certain sanctions put in place by the UN. And again, more and more every day, we're finally realize that the United Nations is just that in name only, that they are completely a globalist stooge organization that picks and chooses how they want to assist or call out people for certain inhuman rights violations, like in China, and to give China a place on the council when they have the largest human rights violation of any country is just shows you just how much buffoonery that whole organized group is.
Yeah, and then you have this thing in Alaska within the past week where Chinese delegates met with the Biden delegates or whoever he put in place, and it certainly wasn't Pompeo. Basically, they told us, Sonny, that we're the ones responsible for human rights violations. Until we get our own country in order, we shouldn't be talking about anybody else. But we have known for a fact that the Chinese do this. And for them to scold anyone about human rights violation, it's almost laughable. It is. And the fact that we have an administration in there again who now is bending over backwards and apologizing all over themselves to the Chinese, we can just see that they're licking their chops. They are licking their chops, brother, and they see us as weak. Biden doesn't help when he can't even make it up the stairs to Air Force One without stumbling and completely falling down three times. It's almost laughable that these people have the balls to lecture us on human rights atrocities when, I mean, goodness gracious, they commit more human rights atrocities in a day than we've committed over the last 50 or 60 years in this country. So again, you know, this, they have to be stopped. You know, communist China has to be stopped. And again, I am not saying to go out and do anything to Asian people because again, you know, your typical white person, the one they want to paint as a white supremacist who just goes out and does this stuff to all Asian people. No, you don't have that. We're smart enough to be able to tell the difference between the different nationalities of the Asian people. Who's Chinese? Who's Korean? Who's Japanese? Who's Vietnamese? We're not just going out and targeting them based on the fact that they're Asian for no particular reason at all. One, we're not doing that to begin with. And two, we're smart enough to know the differences between the different countries and between their people. So that we, if we were to do something like that, at least we'd be getting who we were going after. You know, some innocent Vietnamese person, some innocent South Korean would not be caught up in this because we are smart enough to know the difference. But to hear the left say it, it's us. You know, it's us. This was branded a hate crime by the mainstream media outlets as soon as it happened, without all the facts being in, and even after the facts start rolling in, this started to look less and less like a hate crime and more like something else. They continue to run with that narrative, brother, that this was definitely a hate crime, and now we have these two new bills already passed by the House and on their way to the Senate concerning these types of attacks on the Asian community. Go ahead.
Well, that's an interesting thing. That just shows you how much of an affront China really is. They ever accuse the United States of any type of racism per se is an absolute buffoonery, because in this country, arguably, no other country except maybe Great Britain, and that's limited certain things because of the type of government that they have. But no other nation has actually allowed different subgroups to come in, and whether they're forced in or they've kind of worked their way in, and eventually gotten some sort of recognition and a point where they get some sort of equal playing field with opportunities, whether they want to take them or not. When you look at the Chinese government since Mao took over, the very format of the government alone doesn't allow for any type of flexibility. They don't allow other groups of ethnic people to come into the country. If they do, they're very, very small quantities, and they're under very tight scrutiny. And then they want to sit there and they house up all these Muslims in prison camps, and they want to sit there and point the finger at us. I mean, what really gets me is the left is really good at creating all these little subgroups, whether it's lesbians, gays, trans, gender bender of some sort. They create all these small groups. Then they start to get coalitions of them together. Then they consolidate the power. This is very parliamentary in how they do this. So that way, when they get enough groups built up, then they use them as a coalition against the majority group or the founding stock group, and then try to put it on them like, oh, you just hate us because we're different from you. No, you just have bad ideas. It's that simple. And, you know, the left is bankrupt in ruin of ideas. They can't win at the ballot boxes because their ideas suck. They have to win by, I mean, it's an open joke. Democrats have the dead vote at multiple voting locations for people who live in different states, illegals voting, all sorts of chicanery going on. That's the other two at some point. But nowhere near where it's an open joke that, oh, you're only a few votes shy of winning that race. No problem, buddy. We got a bag of votes out here in the back of the truck. Go ahead and grab those and stick them in the mix, and we'll get you in there. Now we got you in, you're going to do what we tell you to do. I mean, we see all the time people in Congress, why they vote the way they do, or they put bills forward, it's because they've all been blackmailed. Either they've got dirt on them, or they got pictures of them, maybe mess around with an intern, or even it's just a friendly conversation. You have the right type of photography, it can look like there's some unsavory things going on between a man and a woman, and next thing you know, the spouse gets notified, and then they're completely blackmailed. So, I mean, we see it all the time. So, like I said, my biggest thing is they've already got their apparatus in place, Gunner. All we got to do is tell the governors, tell your National Guard to leave the inside of the perimeter of D.C. They're on the outside of it. Kind of lock it shut. Point the guns inwards. And then someone go flip this power switch off to D.C., keep all those criminals where they belong, district criminals, because that's what it is, and then start doing Nuremberg trials, which is completely illegal to the German nation to begin with. But if they want to set that as a standard, no problem. We'll go ahead and implement that as well. And then the 50 states have Nuremberg trials. against these federal employees, as they like to phrase themselves, and be treated as they are, enemies of the state, and have military tribunals. Those such as Jim Jordan or Thomas Massie have done, obviously, absolutely no crimes whatsoever. Basically say, well, your only crime is you got elected in this cabal. Have a nice day. Pelosi and all these others?
Yeah.
Oh, no. There would be mass show trials. They need to be shown. All their finances need to be laid out, show exactly how to move the money, make them show them like the criminals they are. What I don't understand is they created the RICO statutes to go after organized crime. Why aren't they going after the government? There's no more organized criminal organization than the federal government.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree with that. We ain't got much time left, brother, so skipping over to what the show was basically about tonight, the crisis at our border, what are your thoughts on that? I read a statement that Trump just released concerning just how bad it is and the fact that he had this under control for basically 4 years, and that in the matter of just 2 months, actually just a couple weeks, Biden was able to cause a crisis on our border with people now just flooding across here. Your thoughts on that before we end tonight's show?
A couple different things. We saw during the super Obama administration regime that governors such as Jim Brewer of Arizona were calling on the federal government to do the job. Their job is to protect the borders and deal with immigration. They failed to do so. So they had passed laws, basically put the National Guard on the border of Arizona and Mexico to protect that. And the Obama says, you can't do that. It's like, why not? You're not doing your job. Someone has to fucking pick up the slack. So it's a constitutional crisis. Now, that being said, I think Texas is going in the right direction. There's rumors of secession going on with Texas. Several of its neighboring states are willing to join in on them to create a buffer zone between to prevent another war of northern aggression and to help protect Texas's borders. Well, that being said, we already have regional compacts in place economically. For example, the Rust Belt or the Great Lakes, we have regional compacts where we have laws in place and stuff that, help benefit or ease transition of commerce between our various states up here, the Midwest, things like that. Why should it be any different to create a coalition between governors, especially against an over-aggressive and overbearing federal government? I mean, the very argument of why we went to war in 1861 is upon us again, because where does the federal government end and state sovereignty, not states' rights, state sovereignty begins? Because as the Constitution was set up, as you well know, Gunner, that a little bit of power of the states was given to the federal government to do very specific things enumerated in the Constitution. And those things that it was enumerated not to do is in the Bill of Rights. I don't see anything else in there that states that the federal government, who's charged with protecting the borders, coastline, and immigration issues, are allowed to use collective enforcement on any level. There is no excuse for that. And the various states need to file class action lawsuits against the federal government. And as we've seen, the Supreme Court is so compromised, especially under Justice Roberts, which just the fingerprints on his stuff alone, he needs to be impeached. If there's even any hint that, especially as a quote-unquote Republican, any hint that he is associated with Jeffrey Epstein of Pedal Island, he should be immediately removed from the bench in handcuffs and sent straight to prison, because we cannot allow our Supreme Judiciary body to be compromised by such unsavory behavior such as that. It's bad enough we've had at least 2, if not more, Jews on the Supreme Court, which is unacceptable. But the problem is, they condone that type of behavior. So for me, someone can arguably say, well, okay, Elena Kagan is a lesbian. I don't give a damn if she's a lesbian or not. She's a Jew. So So she would automatically condone such unsavory behavior. And what I really find egregious is they're banning children's books, but they don't ban pornography. That's who you know who rules
right.
over you.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely, brother. So, I mean, you know, and I did touch on that, brother. And one of the things I said today is concerning this crisis at the border. Last week, me and Brian went over this long list of politicians who've been arrested, charged, and or convicted with child sex crimes and owning or being in possession of child pornography. This crisis on the border, I mentioned not only is this a way to change red states to blue, which is, I believe is the first goal of allowing all these people to stream in here, is to change these
yeah.
red states to blue so that they don't have to cheat in the next elections. They'll be able to win
yeah.
with the people they're going to grant amnesty here to. They're setting up themselves to just, for the generations to come, never be able to lose another election. But the other part, the other thing I brought up, Sonny, is that how much of this, being as how many of these are children that are coming across the border unaccompanied, or if they are accompanied, being taken away from their parents and housed separately, how easy would it be for them now to fill up their child coffers with these children that no one knows about or is going to miss?
Well, not that, but let's look at the first system. This is a three-pronged strategy. One is, under DACA that Joseph Obama created, is to basically, children that are brought in here illegally, quote-unquote, against their will, and why should they be punished? I don't give a damn if the parents had the wrong idea and broke the law. You know, where does it say that as a parent that you no longer have any liability to your child? I mean, you know as well as I do.
Right.
If your child goes and commits a crime, they automatically look at the parent and blame the parent. The parent has to pay. So how is it any fucking
yeah.
different between American children and, you know, Latin children? I mean, they broke the law. So they can say they're a criminal. So they walk across that border. As far as I'm concerned, I'm almost want to be in North Korea, the damn wall, and put up gun nests. You try to cross it, no man's land, you're going to get shot. It's that simple. You're not welcome here.
Yeah,
you want to come here,
it would only...
you file the paperwork, you go through the front door. You don't sneak around the back. You don't climb in the bedroom window. You don't pull this shit. And the worst part of it is, Gunner, is that there's people that honestly are trying to immigrate to this country legally, and they make it so damn difficult that people get so frustrated, and it takes them years to even get the initial interview to be able to come here for green card, much less get here. I mean, I know people that I've talked to where they knew people that married Americans, like from South Africa. They got married in South Africa. It took them 5 to 8 years to get their spouse to the United States because, A, getting out of South Africa alone is a goddamn nightmare. And then out here, get through that mess, it's like you just climbed over a wall. Now you got probably a 50-foot container wall you have to deal with. That's the United States, and you have to try to scale that. So that's the
yeah.
type of mentality that they have. So when you have honest people who want to come here the right way, and then those that have find it completely egregious that they had to go through the whole freaking process just to have some illegal come through, can't even speak a lick of English, probably hasn't bathed in weeks, you know, get carte blanche treatment, and the immigrant that came here successfully struggled for years. And those people need to be getting together, say, hey, I immigrated this country legally. It took me X amount of years. You got to wait in line. It's that fucking simple.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with that. I mean, it's an absolute slap in the face to the people who have done it the right way, who, like you said, waited for years and spent countless thousands of dollars to get over here and do it the right way. It is a slap in the face. It's an insult to them to now just allow anyone to stream across our border and then grant them amnesty. I mean, why in the world did they go through what they went through if anybody else could have just gotten it for free?
Gunner. If someone of European descent were to come here illegally, okay, somehow, some way, whatever, from France or Yugoslavia or Lithuania or something, they would be deported back so damn quick their head was spent. But someone from Mexico or Guatemala or Venezuela, oh, no. You could be here for several years, matter of fact, catch release, which means they probably already got family here. That's why they're coming. And so, oh, well, here's your court date. Cool. Adios, amigo. The next thing you know, they just take off. Never see them again. And even if they get pulled over on a traffic citation, they're never deported because of the fact that, hey, wait a minute, you were supposed to be at this court case 6 years ago. Where were you? No hablo inglés, señor. No hablo inglés.
Yeah, I mean, it's an absolute mess, brother. And, I mean, it's going to continue to get worse until, you know, our people finally stand up and say enough's enough. So, like we've been saying, it is time to draw that line and not allow them to take another step across, because they're just going to continue to erode more of our freedoms and flood us with people who are here to do us harm, to soak up our resources, and to change our voting demographics so that the Communist Party never loses another vote again. And, I mean, that is what we're dealing with. That is why these times are so dangerous.
This is a Clyde and Piven strategy on steroids. Clyde and Piven were two socialists that got together in the 50s, and they came up with an idea that basically if you overburden the local welfare systems, that especially and they collapse, the state can't do much about it. They have to nationalize. That's their whole idea. It's another way of eroding state sovereignty and state rights to basically ensure the federal government has complete control. I mean, some of the stuff they're talking about now, these bills are putting forward. I was watching Lisa Haven today, and she was talking about, you have to make sure you got a good ESG score. What the fuck is that? It's basically like environmental, socialism, and government. It's a credit rating that they typically put on countries as well as corporations. And now they're going to start implementing it on you, which is essentially your Chinese social credit score. So if you give money to, I mean, even investors, if an investor gives money to, you know, Remington, okay, they could be seen as basically persona non grata. You could be denied a mortgage, even employment, because as an investor, you invested in a company that is not on their approval list. I encourage everyone to watch a documentary film that came out about 11 years ago called Shadow Government. It came up by this Christian guy in Canada or something. It's a very powerful documentary on essentially how they're building up the police state and essentially how they are, if you said like if you were part of a church group, you're automatically flagged. I mean, my friend Harold Zeger would tell you, growing up in East Germany, what it's like to live under a communist rule. They have the Stasi look at you just because you cross the street at the wrong time at the wrong pace. I mean, all sorts of stuff is very controlled over there. And so this is a guy that's seen communism firsthand. Just like Massimo Olivero, whatever his name was, that spoke during the RNC from Cuba. He talked about what it was like when Castro was coming to power, how he saw his friends disappear and things that were happening. And he had an opportunity to come to this country, and he took it. And it'll leave everything behind. But, you know, it's like what Ronald Reagan was talking about. You know, he got an exile from Cuba. It was like, wow, at least I had some place to go. We don't have anywhere else to go, Gunnar. This is it. The line's been drawn in the sand. Better be a Wayne Barrett Travis right now, start saying victory or death, or you better be prepared for a complete Alamo, because that's exactly what's getting ready to happen. Except they're going to try to take our guns before they do the siege. So
yeah,
you better watch
absolutely.
History. Look what our ancestors have done, and those that actually had a voice support them. Marjorie Taylor Greene, lady from Georgia, send her money. Let her know. Send her an email. Hey, you're doing a fantastic job. Don't get up. Get in their fucking faces. Or you really love what you're doing. If they're wanting to try to expel you, you must be doing something right. Because if you're not getting frank, you're not over the target. So, Lauren Boebert. She's another one. Big pro-gun activist. Support her. We need to get more people like those women in Congress. That's when I actually smile and I see our women folks standing up for the right thing, not just because they're a woman and they think they can do better in Congress. No, women actually have the backbone and is able to stand up and fight. I mean, we've got some people here in Ohio like our friend Kelly Coles, man. She's actually got some backbone. She stood up to the teachers' union. She stood up to all the other stuff. I mean, she's come a long way. I really hope someday she gets into higher office because she's principled, and I know I've gotten opened her eyes to a lot of things, so she has a pretty good idea what's going on. You multiply that times 10 times 100. You get enough of those people in there, things will happen. We saw it during the Ron Paul Revolution, where the entire GOP of Iowa was taken over by Ron Paul supporters. That is phenomenal. It didn't last very long, but, you know, if it can happen, I mean, if the left can take over the Democrats and have this Marxist rule of the Democratic Socialists of America, why can't we? We better stand up now, because, like the song says, tomorrow is too late.
Yeah, absolutely, brother. Well, thanks for coming on tonight, brother.
That song,
I appreciate your commentary. Yes, sir. Well, I appreciate you coming on, brother, and sharing your commentary with us. Just a reminder to everybody, tune in to Sonny's show Thursdays, normally now at noon. Correct, brother?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Well, that does bring us to the end of tonight's show. I'd like to thank everybody for listening in. And, again, get the word out. You know, the mainstream media outlets, they are lying to you every chance they get. Very little of what they tell you is the actual truth, and they never have the American people's best interests at heart. They always have some agenda. They always have something going on in the background, which is why they try to distract us with this news that some of it just really isn't important at all, and it's all to, again, distract us from what is actually happening and what they're actually trying to do to us. I am encouraged, though, brothers and sisters, every day. As I look around this country, I see more and more of our people just getting fed up with what is going on. Some of the prime examples of this, I've seen several clips from school board meetings where parents who their children have come home and told them that they're being taught this race theory and that they're evil because of who their ancestors were, and just parents showing up in mass at these school board meetings and just going off on the school board members as a result of this poison they are teaching our kids. We all need to do that, especially if you have a kid in public school. If this kind of race theory BS is being taught there, you need to be at the school board meetings. Trust me, it just takes one of you standing up and saying something to get all the other parents up with you and on your side. A lot of people don't want to be the first one through the wall. It's the scariest place to be, is the first one through the wall. But if you can stand up and be that first one through the wall, your fellow citizens, the fellow parents, they will follow you in. And that is what we need. We cannot allow these people to poison our children, brainwash our kids, telling them that they're evil, when we know that is not the case. This race theory BS has to stop, and that is how we stop it. We have to show up at these school board meetings. We have to make our voices heard, and we have to let them know that it's not just one lone crazy nut job of a parent, as they'd call us. It's not just one of us. It's all of us. We are all here. We're going to stand together, and we're not going to let you poison our kids. So I have hope, brothers and sisters, as I look around this country right now, is this communist bullcrap is being shoved down our throats on a daily basis, that we are about to rise. The backpedaling, the bending over, the sticking our heads in the sand, those days are done. But it can't just be one or two of us standing up. One or two isn't going to be able to do anything by himself. If we stand up together, united, we are strong. If we don't do that, like I said last week, you might as well go out into your backyard and start digging your own grave, because that's what it's coming to. And like Sonny said, if we don't all stand up now, it is going to be an Alamo-type situation. We'll be surrounded on every side. We'll be outmanned. We'll be outgunned. They'll whittle us away until we are just a few, and then they'll come in and they'll finish us off. We cannot allow that to happen. We need to stand up. We need to be unified right now. But again, like tonight's opening song, tomorrow is going to be too late. If we keep putting this off till tomorrow, putting this off till tomorrow, oh, we got more time, we still have time. No, we are at the point of no return. If we continue to let things go like this, there is no coming back from us. And we, our kids' kids, they'll be the ones that suffer the worst as a result of us continuing to put it off until tomorrow. So again, thanks for tuning in tonight, everybody. Remember, if you can, donate to the network. Checks, money orders, very well concealed cash. Sonny Thomas, P.O. Box 27, Springboro, Ohio, 45066. You can also show your support by just tuning in to the network, to the other shows we got going on now 7 nights a week for you. Mondays, Eric and Dissonant Voices. Tuesdays, Soul of Storm. Wednesday, the newest show, Truth Hurts. Thursdays, the Sonny Thomas Show. Fridays, Political Cesspool. Saturdays, the Nordic Frontier. And, of course, European American News on Sundays. So make sure you're tuning in to all those other shows. Show them your support. If you do one thing this week, get someone else to listen to one of the shows on this network. Pass this knowledge along, because that is the only way we're going to be able to wake up enough people to take our country back. And like Sonny said, there is nowhere else for us to go. White Europeans, Americans, Canadians, there's Australians, there's nowhere else for us to go. We can't go to another country and say, give me the Gibbs. I want free health care. I want welfare. I want free housing. I want free clothing. I want free education for my kids. There's nowhere else in the world that we can go. Yet all these other nations think that they can come to our nations and they are entitled to this stuff. The line has to be drawn. We have to stand united. And if we do, as proven by our brothers and sisters in Australia this past weekend, if we stand united, we are strong and we will win. We will take our countries back from this communist stranglehold that we're under right now. But it can't just be one or two of us. It has to be all of us working together and making a stand. So tune in next week, 6 p.m. Eastern, for another European American News. I'm your host, Gunnar Troy. Good night.
This is a fascinating look at one of the most lied about periods in the history of mankind. In keeping with our motto, free movies, free minds, free speech, I ask that you watch, you decide. A statement made by UndergroundDocumentaries.com in 2013. The only untold story of World War II you will ever need to know.
You have done a magnificent job. The visual impact that people will experience when they see what you have produced, you've been very impartial in your presentation, and you have allowed the people, the viewers, to make up their own mind. You present the evidence and... Anyway, it's an honor to have you on the program.
I want to say that the work that Dennis Wise has undertaken and accomplished and the value of this work cannot be underestimated at this time, especially. He has undertaken to present actual information about the most controversial period in human history. We have been given a narrative that has painted a picture, an image for the world to consume. And we have to look at this. The reason this is so important this time for everyone to look at is we have to challenge the lies. Okay, that's one thing right there, just from a moral standpoint. In our time today, it is more than that, just a morality. It is a matter of physical survival itself, because we have to look at this period and look at exactly what happened, which Dennis Wise has presented to us in his great accomplishment that he has put together there. We have to look at what happened. We had power in 1945. It was Stalin, Churchill, and Roosevelt. And what did they do with this power? As a gift, illustrated in his great work, The Greatest Story Never Told. Yes, if you want to see the dangers that are facing the world today, just watch this film. One can see the actual facts, indisputable facts, of what really happened at that time.
To find out more on this phenomenal documentary series on Adolf Hitler and World War II, go to thegreateststorynevertold.tv.
Fund, thank you. Godfather of the European Union, Richard Coutenhove Kalergi, published the plan for a united Europe and the ethnocide of the peoples of Europe. The encouragement of non-white immigration was central to the plot. Since then, an unholy alliance of leftists, capitalists, and Zionist supremacists has schemed to promote immigration and miscegenation with the deliberate aim of breeding us out of existence in our own homelands. As indigenous resistance to this human genetic modification industry grows, the criminal elite seeks new ways to camouflage their project. First, their immigrant pawns were temporary guest workers. Then it was a multiracial experiment. Then they were refugees. Then the answer to a shrinking population. Different excuses, different lies. And asylum is just another one. But the real aim stays the same. The biggest genocide in human history. The final solution of the Christian European problem. This crime demands a new set of Nuremberg trials, and you people will be in the dock.
Mr. Griffin, there is a blue card for you from Mrs. Gomez, all right? Señora Gomez.
Mr. President, I'm really ashamed of the racist and xenophobic terms that were used by Mr. Griffin, and my only question to him is if he's there to make any concrete suggestions and amendments to the legislation. Is your policy serious, or are you just shouting? And I hope you will not be re-elected if you seek re-election, because it's a shame for this parliament, the kind of statements you have just made.
Señor Griffin?
Mr. Griffin.
It's you that's shouting, because obviously the truth hurts. Yes, I will be seeking re-election. Yes, I hope to return here to speak up for the indigenous Europeans, which the founder of this place has deliberately set out to wipe out, because that is a crime. I'm telling the truth. I have a constructive suggestion to help those poor asylum seekers from Africa. Yes, make it clear they can't come here, so they don't try to cross the sea and drown in huge numbers. The best way for them is to get the banks off the backs of their countries so they can live in peace in their countries, and we Europeans can live in peace in ours. Thank you.
You are listening to Resolution Radio on ResolutionRDO.com.